Please turn again to Psalm 45. Just going to read two verses, Psalm 45, verses 10 and 11. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. Forget your own people also and your father's house. So the king will greatly desire your beauty, because he is your Lord, worship him. When we look at the first meaning of the psalm, we see the picture of a man in love with a woman, a man who has wooed and will wed this woman. We find that this man is a king and the woman will be a queen. But we learnt a couple of weeks ago that when the writer to the Hebrews quoted this psalm, that the subject of the psalm is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So it's very legitimate that when we consider the words of this psalm, that we consider that they apply to him. And also they give us a clue as to the identity of the bride of the king who will be his queen. But first of all, the writer directs the daughter to listen. Listen, O daughter, consider and incline your ear. It's a simple meaning. Hear what is being said. Perceive it, not just hear, but understand what is being said. But also, there is the meaning, and this word is used to translate elsewhere, obedience. So you hear, you understand, and you are obedient. Without that threefold attempt, it's meaningless. You can hear, but if you don't understand, it's just gibberish. If you hear and you understand, that's all well and good, but it needs that seal of obedience upon it to make it meaningful in our lives. And that's to do with any instruction that comes from the Lord as we read his word. And of course, when we consider that, perhaps we can consider how many times we have failed to listen, failed to understand, and failed to be obedient. But nevertheless, this is a new day, and we can again listen to the word of the Lord, understand the word of the Lord, and be obedient to it. Consider and incline your ear. To consider, that has a meaning of being able to see something that is visible. To see visibility, but it means to have vision. And the believer is to have this vision of the Lord, to be able to listen, understand, and be obedient. To be obedient is to carry out the wishes of our God, and that gives us vision, a purpose, something to do that is glorious ultimately, something that pleases his heart. Something we should all be aiming for. There is an instruction that the Lord Jesus gave several times to people that heard him. Forget your own people also and your father's house. Come, follow me. Take up the cross. Leave everything else behind and follow him. And here is perhaps the germ of that teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ to his disciples, to those who would wish to follow him, those who heard his wondrous words and wanted to follow him. And he gave them the challenge of taking up a cross and following him, leaving everything behind. And that leads to this blessing. Verse 11 talks about the desire of this king. So the king will greatly desire your beauty. This is something that the king longs for. And you see sometimes that in the Lord Jesus Christ, how he longs to be with his disciples. Sometimes he wanted to be apart from them, to be with his Father, to pray and commune with the Father. But other times you can feel the need that he had to be with his disciples, but more, of course, their need of being with him. And what a great desire he has. And it's a desire that's mentioned also in the upper room, with desire. I have desire to eat this feast with you, to paraphrase. He longed to share that upper room supper with his disciples. He wished to be with them. The king will greatly desire your beauty, and because he is your Lord, worship him. That word worship means to bow down, to prostrate oneself before that which is higher. And of course, ultimately, that's only to happen before God. I'll read a passage in a minute from Revelation where that kind of thing becomes clear. So in these two verses, he has turned to the bride. He has called the bride to leave everything behind. So who is this bride? Revelation chapter 19, verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, "Praise our God, all you his servants and those who fear him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty thundering, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous act of the saints." Then he said to me, "Write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb." And he said to me, "These are the true sayings of God." And I fell at his feet. I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, "See that you do not do that. I am your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." You see there that the messenger was on the point of being worshipped, but he denies that worship, saying that they should worship God alone. And here you have the culmination of the glory of the bride of Christ, the church, in the marriage supper of the Lamb, something that is yet to occur. We see the church in the Old Testament. It's never mentioned as the church. The church is never mentioned in the Old Testament, but you get hints in passages like this of who the bride of the king is. And in Revelation, you find the culmination of those shadowings, foreshadowings of the glory of the church. The Lord Jesus Christ loves the church. He died for the church. When we read down through Christian history, church history, there are things in it that make us ashamed, things that make us uncomfortable, things that people did in the name of God that should never have been done. But the Lord preserves down through the ages his true church, true believers who worship him and him alone, and often suffered and died for it. Those people will be at this marriage supper of the Lamb. They will form that company of people of which we are a part, the body of Christ, that will be wed to him and will have an eternity of glory because we will be with him. No greater prospect for the believer than that, that we will see him and be with him and love him all the more for all eternity. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for that church which you said would never fall, that the gates of hell would never prevail against it. And we thank you that we are a part of that, the body of Christ. And there are numbers of people worshipping in various localities that form that great number who one day will be wed to the King. We look forward to that day. In the meantime, we seek to serve, we seek to worship our King and to adore. And in this place, in the days to come, the years to come, if permitted, we seek to serve our Lord Jesus Christ, to bring the glory to him alone, for he alone is worthy. And to do this, we thank you for the Spirit of God and the power of God in our lives, in our number. And we pray that you would help us to bring glory to the Lord Jesus Christ in all that we do, say, teach, preach, in whatever form. For we ask it in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.